You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Lawyer of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. We are now into August, and it is hot here in Kansas, but we're moving on with our lives and with our attitudes and with our dreams, because they come from the inside out. So I want you to know that we've been on this journey together the past 4 or 5 months, and I just want you to know that there is a reason that we're taking a reset, and there's a reason that we're taking some time to be at home and be by ourselves, and just know that something amazing is coming. I know it in my soul, and I know that when we take a step toward that, each one of us, every day, a small step, it's going to change the entire cosmos. So thank you for being here. I want to welcome you to this week's lesson. I've got an amazing lady. I just found her a couple weeks ago. I don't know how I find my people, but they find me, and I love them. Her name is Dr. Julia Melchior. She's a minister from Brooklyn. She has her own programs. She has her own church. She teaches this amazing information to children. I loved her when I started talking to her over the phone. I know that she has a message that she needs to get out, because this message of hope and of love and of power is what is really going to make a difference in this entire environment that we find ourselves in, that the power flows to and through us, and that is what we need to concentrate on. So I want to welcome you to my program this week. I want to welcome you to allow yourselves to just immerse yourself in Dr. Julia Melchior. And we will be right back after a message from our sponsor. Thank you. Hi, it's Paula. If you're listening to this, you already know there's so much more to you, to life, than you're currently seeing. And right now, during this unusual time, I know you're still searching for a couple of things. Number one, some kind of immediate relief to the anxiety that you're frequently feeling. And number two, you're still wanting to achieve that bigger, better life. You still want to create more wealth, have more physical energy and better health. You still want to find a loving relationship or make a current one even better. Maybe you feel like those desires are not even attainable anymore. I'm here to tell you that each one of your dreams is still achievable. In fact, now is the perfect time to go bigger in every aspect of your life. Because right now there is more contrast in your life. You have more desire for something else, and you're more motivated to attain it. But anybody who wants some additional help in doing this, because maybe you're confused or you're overwhelmed, I've opened up some additional time to help you plan action steps to move you forward. So if you know you're ready for more in your life and open to a coach showing you how, let's hop on a call and I'll show you how we can work together. Go to PaulaKiddCaseyJD.com. Fill out an application to schedule a call. That's PaulaKiddCaseyJD.com. I'm excited to connect. And we are back with one of my favorite people that I just met a couple weeks ago, but we've decided we're sisters. And it's Dr. Julia Melchior. So, Julia, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you too, Paula. I really appreciate it. I was excited all day just for this wonderful opportunity
Well, thank you so much.
And the world.
Oh, it is. It's an opportunity for the world. How wonderful. Well, Dr. Mel Quire has, as we talked about just a minute ago, she has her own church. And I want you to tell us about your journey, how you got here, because it's an amazing journey. When you and I found each other, I just loved your story. Can you tell everyone where you started from and how you got to where you are now with your message?
Sure. To begin with, I'm a single mom of two wonderful children, girls, who I respect and love very much. But my journey began coming from South America, Georgetown, Guyana, when I decided to change my life, change the way of life, not only for myself, but especially for my daughters. Mm-hmm. And that journey was a struggle. It wasn't one wherewith I had the opportunity to fly on a plane and get into America. So it started out by me being able to skip different countries and thereby, more or less, if you want to say, smuggle into
my
country. But it wasn't in America of itself. It was in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Ah.
And after being established there, I got a visa and then came to New York, as we call it right now.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, my goodness. This was 27 years ago.
Wow.
27 years ago. And it was the 3rd of July. So the girls and I, we always celebrate our independence because the next day it was Independence Day.
Uh-huh.
And it's still Independence Day for us.
How wonderful. How old were the girls when you came up here? How old were the girls when you came up here?
Pardon?
How old were the girls when you came up here?
One, my eldest was just about 7 or 8, I think. I think, yes, about 7, 8, and my youngest was just like about 3, 4, something to that effect.
Aww.
Yes.
You showed up in New York. You showed up in New York with two small children, right? Did you have a job? Did you have a place to live? Tell me about that.
So when I came to New York, I proceeded to engage myself, of course, in finding a job. That was the key thing. So that was my first job. I held that for a while. But on the journey, I realized that by having two young children, it was so hard because there were times when they would get home by themselves and I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when my kids would be locked out of the apartment. One night during my journey, I was attending beauty school and working as a residential aide. So I got home that night and I found my eldest in front of the apartment door asleep.
Aww.
Because she had lost her key. So it was like an up and down, a trial, an error, getting myself or ourselves acquainted to living by ourselves in this wonderful country, which I have no regrets right now. So during that time, I started to study. I became a licensed cosmetologist and worked as an instructor with Robert Fiance Hair Design and Wilfred Academy's Beauty School. This, at that time, made life much easier for us.
I bet.
And we kicked off from there. My girls were attending school in Brooklyn. My eldest was at George Wingate High School, and the little one in another public school. So that's how we started to, like, more or less what we would call come into a more focused direction and to apply what I knew as a mother. Bearing in mind, I was the only one from my immediate family who was in this country. So well, there was no help.
You know, you had a vision, right? You had a purpose and you stayed with it and you had no idea how you were going to accomplish it. You just put one foot in front of the other and bless your heart, like how far you've come.
Thank you so much, of course.
And then so you were a cosmetologist for a while. Then tell us about your journey, because you got your PhD, your daughters got their PhDs, and now you're a minister of a church.
Yes.
So tell us that journey.
Okay, so the first beautiful thing that happened is that my eldest was the valedictorian coming out from George Wingate High School with a scholarship for any Ivy League college.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
She chose Cornell University. And then my youngest also got a scholarship, but she decided that she's going to win at this game with her sister. And her scholarship was for Phillips Academy, where she attended a private school at Andover in Boston, New York. They paid $28,000 a year for her. She's now an alumni at that Phillips Academy. Uh-huh. And she also got another scholarship for UPenn. After which, she ended up at, what's this college? New York. What's the college again? It just slipped my mind.
It's all right. She's in she went to another college.
Yeah, she went to another college, did a foreign exchange student program in Kenya, came back and got her master's, and then proceeded for her doctorate as well.
So both of your daughters have their PhDs, correct?
Both of them. One is my eldest is a psychologist and a dean at Rutgers University. And my youngest is in Austin, Texas, doctorate in research. She's a research analyst.
That's amazing. And then you also got your PhD in theology.
I got a PhD in theology.
And how long ago was that?
That was 2014.
Wow. And so you have been, that has been your profession since then, is you have been a minister. And did you start your own church?
Yes, I did. I've pastored three churches and had the most fulfilling opportunity of serving. Because when you're a minister, you're actually a servant for God. That's what it is. You're always going to be a servant for humanity. It's nothing about the little, I mean, it's no glory of your own. It's just a glory in bringing peace and good health and wealth and success to others along your journey.
And you also have some other programs and some other interests that, on top of ministering to your church, you're doing some outreach programs. I know you're involved in a lot of different things in your community. So tell us about the involvement in your community, and then I want to hear about the programs that you offer, and you have a book that's come out, and we want to talk about that. So I know you're very involved in your community, and I know that you take your vision and your purpose and this amazing message that you have to everything that you work on.
Sure. During this time, as I was blessed, and I call it a blessing, to have that intuitive mind or spirit, you know, everybody would call it a different name. For me, it was God, the Holy Spirit, that actually placed that responsibility in my heart. And sitting one day, I decided this is no more about living my life. I came to that wonderful realization that I am going to be a servant of God for the rest of my life. And so I got up without single-handed. My journey continues. And I started at Medgar Evers College because I wanted, my passion is really children. And the reason for that, Paula, is because I realized that within each and every one of us, there is a Christ nature to fulfill. And so I went to Medgar Evers College. I met with the director there. I showed her my program. I said who I was. I'm a minister at that time. I didn't have my doctorate. And she said to me, Reverend Melchior, I am impressed by what you have written, and so I'm going to sign you up. It was the most happiest day of my life.
Aww.
And I started to teach the underprivileged single mothers. I was at Medgar Evers. I was at Madison's Residence, another community outreach, teaching children. I would close my beauty business on those evenings specified, and I would be there teaching about high energy. That was my first banner. High energy, positive thinking, and motivational seminars. I even got as far as to teaching single mothers, delinquent young women from New York State. I would go there in the evening, and this wasn't paid. These weren't paid opportunities. Only Medgar Evers was paying me. But the excitement and the joy and the fulfillment that it brought me, I kept on going. And eventually, I decided that I should have my own program from there. And that's when life-changing seeds of thoughts came into action, which led me through seminars, workshops, opening 2 chapters in New York, 1 in Queens and 1 in Brooklyn, which is the Millionaires Women chapter. Now, the Millionaires Women chapter wasn't about the millions or the money. It was my mindset was to develop the minds of these women, to let them understand that in consciousness, as you see your vision, your millions will appear. But the change must take place first within the mind. That is my deepest passion, for children to adults. The program accommodates an independent thinking program for children of any age. Why? I believe because when you scold a child or when you tell a child, this thing is wrong or this you shouldn't do, you're already training a mind. You're also adding value to that child's life. Now, a child's mind is like a path, different paths that we take in life. If we can start to direct that mind and thinking into the right pattern, then I'm pretty sure we're going to have the right attitudes, right behavior, right thinking. And that's when I was given that art that by learning to think what to think, each and every one of us, including myself, because when I was in such a struggle in life, I had to learn to think properly. I accommodated my mind with the right thoughts. I saw my kids going to the top and only to the top. Even at times when they would come and say, "Mommy, can I go to McDonald's and do a little summer job?" I would be like, "No, that's not the place for you." So if our minds can be trained in the right direction, our lives will have a better and bigger outpicturing. To have a millionaire's mind is definitely to accommodate a consciousness that moves you from one level to another, one realm to another.
I love that. You said accommodates the consciousness. Well, a couple of things. Number one, you and I talked about the most important thing is to get this information to children. Because yes. If we could do that and get this into schools, I don't know why they don't teach what you and I teach. But number two, how did you find this information? Was this just something that you knew inherently? Because you've used this information all your life.
Yes.
Were you taught this? Is it this intuitive thing? Tell us how you've arrived at this message.
Well, the first part of it is via my mom. I am the 11th child of 13. So my mother had a brood.
Wow.
For her, every night it would be at our table, dinner table, with our school books, learning everything, our lessons, and she would constantly tell us, it is not only what we can see. This might not be the best, but there is more and more. We have to think on that. My mom was very influential in our lives as she made sure that she took care of her kids, but she would not spare the rod and spoil the child, if you know what I mean. So
yes.
After imbibing that and knowing that I became a teenage mother, not the training that my mom had given to me, I decided I must take fate in my own hands. I can't remain in Guyana. I can't stay there and watch my kids just go down the drain, as we call it. You know, the drain of nowhere.
Right.
And that came into my spirit. Remember that I was incorporating God at a level that, Father, I am depending on you. You are my strength. You are my glory. And intuitively, everything just came into place because I am very big on meditation and the prayers. And there are times when I would just sit and meditate and God would, like the name, this name for this program was just given to me. The name for my church, Eternal Light of Being, Center of Truth, was just given to me. And then I started to recap, you know, in my mind, what it is that I was doing. I told my eldest when she attended Cornell, I said, "You see all those stretch limos and all of that is good." I said, "But honey, what you have in here, no one can take that away. And one day, you will be in the position to have that and more." And it happened.
Absolutely.
A vision held in mind will always bring about its rewards.
Say that again. A vision held in mind will always bring about rewards. I love that.
Without a vision, you know, we will what? Perish. So appearances of lack and limitation, appearances of financial problems, anything, sickness, anything, whatever, they are only appearances. It is only something that has clouded our minds, because what we can see, most people attest to. But for me, it was always good to daydream. And I still daydream, Paula. I still daydream because I haven't reached where I want to be as yet. I haven't reached that seven-figure income or six-figure income constantly. It's my dream. And believe me, I am going to fulfill it.
You know, we're always on a journey. We're never done, right? We're always on a journey.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So to behold the truth is to constantly think the truth. How about that? Constantly think on it. In my Bible, it says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on those things. I am mostly concerned about our children, because most children, academically, they are great. But for them to be motivated, for them to take the next step, the next goal to achieve, they're not. So we have a lot of kids who are really, really smart. And I look at them, I look at those shows all the time, these wonder kids. Mm-hmm. But for them to take the gift and let it be or give it birth, it's a problem.
Because they regurgitate information. We're not teaching them to think, right? We're not teaching them how powerful our mind is, that we get to choose the thought, which becomes the reality. All they're just doing is regurgitating the reality that's in front of them.
Exactly. So I find, because I remembered when I was at Madison Residence in Brooklyn, and these little tots, babies, and I would ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some of them said, I need a gun so that I can shoot. Oh, yeah, for real. And my heart is just like dripping, you know, inside of me. All of them had an idea of what they want to be. 50% positive, 50% negative. Now, this is not because of the area where they grew up. This is not because there wasn't a father in the home. My girls had no father in the home. I was mom and dad. But this is simply because their parents didn't learn this art.
Yes.
When you learn to think what to think, your life will become better. Because by then, you will acquire the ability and the understanding within your own divinity to know that this is your birthright. This is what you're entitled to. This is what God wants for you. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be free, and more than ever to have the ability to express. You see, what our kids are expressing now, most of them, is what is going on in the streets, some of them from what they're hearing, and the majority of them, it's knowledge. So I am hoping that my program, Life-Changing Seeds of Thoughts, will be able to meet thousands and thousands of children. and they will just sit and envision and think. Learn that art to think what to think and bring about a more glorious and happier world that we live in.
What a wonderful message. You know, we don't realize that we can use our imagination. We use our imagination to imagine bad things happening. And if that's all these children have ever seen, it's really hard to make them understand the power that they have to just change that viewpoint. Because they're seeing it in reality. Give us some ideas on how that we can teach our kids, or how that someone listening to this can change that viewpoint when they're saying, but this is what's going on. It is crummy. Tell us how that they can change that.
Well, the first thing, I had the opportunity of working with kids, and the first thing is their imagination. Their imagination, you know, children have the ability to have this wide imagination, real big. You know, they can, I've experienced this with my grandchildren, they can be looking at Big Bird, but imagine what will happen to Big Bird. So imagination comes as number one for me. Why? Because we're not pressing the mind at that time. We are simply making an impression on the child's imagination skill. We're not laboring the mind with big words and a lot of writing, because kids, they're seeing, you know, that imagination will bring appearance. So imagination is one. The second one is making an impression in writing for a child. You know, when I was younger, and if one of us did something wrong, my mom would say, okay, go and write that 1,000 times.
Whoa.
Go and write, I am sorry, 1,000 times. And my God, by the time you're like half of that, you're really sorry.
You know, really sorry.
Yes, you're really sorry. So it wasn't only a flogging, it was the impression. Our writing relates to impression on the mind. So whilst we're writing that 1,000 times, I am a billionaire, I am a billionaire. When I grow up, I will be a doctor. I will succeed. The impression now takes that message to the subjective mind, because there is the conscious mind, what we're seeing around us, mm-hmm. and then the subjective mind that is right underneath. Just know that the subjective mind only knows to carry out the mission that is placed on its mind. And that's the reason why many Christians say, I've been praying and praying to God, but this thing is not happening. No, it's not happening for you, because you're praying out of your conscious state. Within that mind, you're not seeing your answer. You're waiting and thinking that God will come down and work it out for you. It's not going to happen. God doesn't operate like that. You can pray forever, but the first day that you pray and believe it, that's why it's called so much faith. So back to the kids. I don't want to lose there. That's the second one, making an impression by the writing skills. Third, we're going to teach our children to love.
Aww.
Because love, it just takes over everything. You know, it's like you and I. We just spoke, but I knew that I loved you. And you know that you loved me. We just spoke because love carries a vibration. You see, love vibration never dies. And love is selfless. So when a child learns that, you know, if you look at little 2 years, 3 years old, one would put a candy in their mouth and then push it into the other one's mouth. What is that? Selfless love. Nobody, neither of the two don't know anything about virus, cold, or pandemic. All they know, I love him, so let him share what I have. Love is the third thing. And the fourth most important thing, just like how we give our children time out, huh? Why give them time out? Why send them to their room? It's not good. Because when you put them on time out, it's because you're angry at them. That's the thought in the child's mind. When you say, go to your room and stay there until I call you, that's another anger or angry thought again. Mm-hmm. And within those timeouts and go to your room, the child is thinking. That child is thinking because we're all thinking human beings. And they're thinking, should I love my mother still because I'm on timeout? Or should I, yes, go down and apologize? Instead, let that child sit right there with you. Give them a pad and a paper. See, writing is an important skill for
kids.
It
is, isn't it? And they don't let that.
Yes, let that child write, I am forgiven. I will never do this again. 1,000 times. You can say after 20 minutes, stop.
But that internalizes that. That internalizes a positive, that I am forgiven, that it may have been a negative thing, but
it will internalize a negative thought of anger. And that's why we realize that so many of our kids, they throw so much tantrum.
Right.
You know? Because they are reacting from an internal pain that's in them outwardly towards their parents. Some kids just live to embarrass their parents. Yeah, I've seen that. I've worked at the Board of Education for about 3 years, and I've had that opportunity to see that as a coordinator. You know, I've had this experience with children that sometimes it just blows my mind how gifted and how smart they are. I am really hoping that very soon I will be able to set up schools all over in this great country, America, by teaching our children the skill, adding values to their lives, setting goals. That's what I did with my girls. I set goals for them. I remember my youngest telling me, Mom, if I am the smartest kid in the city-wide test, I would love to have a canopy bedroom set. The girl did it, and I bought the canopy bedrooms.
Oh. So, you know, really, teaching this to children is going to be what turns us around, because it is not part of, at least our culture, to teach them their power that they have and those thoughts and those feelings. And writing in cursive really engages this frontal lobe of the brain, and it really internalizes this. And then the love, and then they understand that they're wonderful people, that they're not horrible people because they've made these bad decisions.
Yes. And one other thing I would add about kids. Many parents retard their children's growth. And I've come to realize that. You enter their room and it's full of everything. Computer, every toy you could think about, every sneaker, every clothing. You're retarding their growth. You're not allowing them to appreciate what you have given them last year. You're buying gifts, big gifts, that has no value, no integrity, no bearing on the child's ability to love you, the parent, for your hard work and your working daily. I remember my kids never had a prom because I didn't have the money for a prom.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't do it. I was given food, shelter, and raiment, you know. And that was enough. I taught them that. I remember my eldest having a little red car, driving, because at that time, back and forth from her little job, going back to school, the car would break down. We would run out to fix it. But listen, it gave her hope. She bought her first car.
I love that.
When we crowd our children with material things, the real integrate part of ourselves as parents doesn't show. You know why? Because those things are all over in the store. And so when we take them out, all they're pointing, I need that. No, I must have that. My friend have that. You know, that's how they behave. I must have that. That is not the fulfillment. There are many parents who are suffering today because after all they have given, their kids pay them no mind. They've turned their backs on them because they didn't teach them how to share. You see, we don't have to tell our kids our deepest pain or struggle, but we have to let them know that you're to love me as well. Love must be what? Reciprocated to both of us. So those are the times that I'm most happy, because on Mother's Day, I'm getting this nice little thing that Fiona drew in school.
No.
Or that she painted. Or that the eldest want to make me breakfast. That's what we want for our kids.
Well, and you know, when we teach them gratitude, right, that we're grateful for them, then they can learn gratitude, because that's the highest level of vibration we can be on. And I think that's what you're saying, that these kids aren't grateful for what they have because they have so much, they're overwhelmed.
Yes, yes.
And they don't learn to value that. I love that concept. Well, we're almost out of time. I want you to tell people how they can get a hold of you. They get a hold of you for you to come speak to them at their schools, your program. Oh, and let's talk about your book. Tell us about your book.
Okay. Very shortly, this is a book that, I mean, it's my first. I'm so proud of it.
Aww.
Because it's all based on thoughts. I'm big on the mind. It's a little book that can hold in any pocketbook, but it's filled with jewels. Because in this book, and just for one little part that I would read right now.
Please.
It says here, the power of thought. Negative thoughts and actions directed at other people is where we are almost challenged in this respect. We become habituated to thinking in this manner. Yet, what a difference it would make if we really knew as clearly as we know the sun will rise tomorrow that our negative thoughts attract to us situations in exact proportion to the quality of those thoughts themselves.
That's amazing. And the opposite is also true. Whenever you send out positive thoughts, you get it back exactly the same way. And we're not taught that power, right?
Sure.
I mean, aren't taught that. And the name of your book is Seeds of Thoughts.
Yes.
And where is it available? Is it available somewhere we can get it yet?
Well, fortunately, you have the good pleasure of it being available by me.
Yay!
Or through my website, Tell
us your website.
www.lifechangingseedsofthoughts.com, or you can call me at 347-737-6312.
And on your website is also a couple other programs that, and also seminars that you do or having you speak for them. So if they get on that, they can get a hold of you for all of those different.
Yes, of course. And there's my contact page on the website where, and I would just like everyone to know that we have great values for seminars. Women's conferences that I've spoken at already, and many more, or for groups if they have any counseling for groups, pastoral counseling or else, I'm available speaking as a minister. All of that is on my website. It's for me, I think it's a great website because it accommodates everyone, from tots to teens to adults to seniors.
Well, it's a beautiful website and there's a lot of information.
Yes.
So if you can tell us once again the name of the website.
It's lifechangingseedsofthoughts.com.
And they can get a hold of you there to arrange for any kind of
booking or anything. My contact page is there, and all they have to do is just fill it in, and I will respond. And if they need the book, like in bulks for 500 or more, it's a much cheaper price because these books can be used at school, communities, libraries, whatever the need may be.
I love that. And Julia, I love the fact that you have shown up in your life, that you have changed your life, your daughter's lives, that you have done it one step at a time. You know, your story is, if you can do it, anybody can do it. And the fact that you have done it is amazing. But the fact that you have this message that you get out, that you want to share with your congregation, you want to share with schools, we are all so much better because that you are here and that you are sharing this message. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that you and I have connected and that you continue to share this message, because I have no doubt this is how that we're going to get the world changed.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. And I want you to know, Paula, you have been chosen by Almighty God. This is my first official interview. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because so much is in here, so I just need the world to know about it. I never knew I had a white sister, but I love you, love. And I am keeping you forever, so don't think about going away from me. I think you're really your divinity. I've read a lot. I've listened to some of your podcasts and radio action. I'm available to you whenever, volunteer work, whatever it is. Feel free to call me and I'll be there just as soon as you click.
Oh, bless your heart. I am humbled and I'm honored to know you, and I will guarantee you this will not be the last of your podcast. It's the very first of your message and your voice. And it's the voice we need right now, a voice of calm and love and hope and optimism and knowledge. You are so full of knowledge that if we could get this out and teach people that the power they have, it's going to change everything. So, Julia, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today and for stepping into your highest self. I want everybody to contact her because I think that she's going to change everybody's lives. So thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you. And we will be right back. Hi, it's Paula. If you're listening to this, you already know there's so much more to you, to life, than you're currently seeing. And right now, during this unusual time, I know you're still searching for a couple of things. Number one, some kind of immediate relief to the anxiety that you're frequently feeling. And number two, you're still wanting to achieve that bigger, better life. You still want to create more wealth, have more physical energy and better health. You still want to find a loving relationship or make a current one even better. Maybe you feel like those desires are not even attainable anymore. I'm here to tell you that each one of your dreams is still achievable. In fact, now is the perfect time to go bigger in every aspect of your life. Because right now there is more contrast in your life. You have more desire for something else, and you're more motivated to attain it. But anybody who wants some additional help in doing this, because maybe you're confused or you're overwhelmed, I've opened up some additional time to help you plan action steps to move you forward. So if you know you're ready for more in your life and open to a coach showing you how, let's hop on a call and I'll show you how we can work together. Go to PaulaKidCaseyJD.com. Fill out an application to schedule a call. That's PaulaKidCaseyJD.com. I'm excited to connect. And we are back. Isn't she wonderful? She's my new sister. I love her and I love her message. I want everybody to go to her website and see if you can connect with her on anything that she's able to help you with. She is here to serve and she is here to offer her voice in this wilderness we find ourselves in right now. But it's a voice of hope and of love. I hope your week has been good. I hope your lives are safe and happy. I know it's one thought away that we can think a better thought. We can choose a better feeling. We can take a different action. We can leave everyone with the impression of increase. And it's just a moment-to-moment decision. And I want us all to realize the power that we have in that moment-to-moment decision. So I want to invite you to my website, lawyerofattraction.com, or you can go to PaulaKidCaseyJD.com. There's a couple of really fun programs. There's a quick 7-day magic of intention that you can sign up for emails. There's a couple of other programs that are life-changing. And I want you to understand how important it is for you to have a mentor. You need to have a tribe. You need to have someone that is a guide for you. And you need to have some other people on this journey with you. And that is what I would love to have you contact me so we can have you do that. My book is on Amazon.com, and it's The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction. And you can email me at Paula@lawyerofattraction.com, and I would love to get back with you. So until next week, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on this journey with you. As Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home, and I'm honored to be able to do that. So until next week, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.